serving spiritual seekers around the world. Unity FM.
Thank you for tuning in for this Unity Partner Program. Unity FM partners with spiritual leaders from organizations whose mission and messages complement Unity's. We are pleased to bring you this program on Unity FM, the voice of an awakening world.
David Matthew Brown is an Agape-licensed spiritual practitioner from Los Angeles. He is an award-winning poet, facilitator, philosopher, father, and the host of Inside Out, where knowing yourself is cool.
Hello, and welcome to Inside Out. I'm your host, David Matthew Brown, broadcasting live in the City of Angels out here in Los Angeles, California. Today we have a special show for you. As always, every Wednesday I try to bring to you guests that will allow you to come from the inside out, that will allow you to look at your life from the inside out, realizing that the way to unify is both from within and out, and then how do we take action on that? How do we take action from that place? And one of the topics that's been really coming forward for me for this year in particular was, as many of you know, I ran for peace in the Los Angeles Marathon, and as I ran for peace, I passed out bracelets that say, "I stand for peace." And what came forward was, in the dialogue on peace, a lot of people felt like peace was something that was way out there, something that was hard to attain, that how do we find peace in the face of desperation? How do we find peace in the face of ongoing conflict and war? How do we find peace within ourselves when we're losing a job or don't have a job and we need to support our family? And what people brought up to me was, they said, well, we did peace in the 1970s, and that's kind of a hippie thing. And what I want to do today, as we bring on my guests in just a couple of minutes, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, Nobel Prize winner for peace, and Robert V. Taylor, just an incredible, insightful spiritual leader. These two leaders, I want to dialogue about redefining peace. And I want to let you know that we have a sponsor on the show that I'm delighted to welcome, because their mission is in honor of both peace and unity around the globe as well. And I'd like to welcome to the first broadcast and introduce my sponsor, which is Go Solar, which is a nonprofit global outreach ministry that creates international volunteer service trips. Their intention is to provide people an opportunity to have transformative experiences that helps them live from a deeper place of love, compassion, forgiveness, and human understanding. Go Solar's mission is personal transformation through global service. They have served in Ghana in 2008, in Ecuador in 2009, and they delivered over 1 million meals to Haiti earthquake survivors in 2010. To learn more about Go Solar, go to gosolar.org. And if you're looking to expand yourself with infinite possibilities, always tune in and subscribe to the magazine, theinfinitemagazine.com. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome my two guests on Inside Out as we dialogue about redefining peace. My first guest is Robert V. Taylor. He's a nationally recognized leader, author, sought-after speaker, and media commentator. Robert, welcome to Inside Out.
It's wonderful to be with you, David.
Good to have you. And secondly, I'd like to welcome Archbishop Desmond Tutu is best known for his vigorous activism during apartheid in his native South Africa, for which he was awarded the Nobel Prize in 1984. While he is an Anglican Archbishop Empress, he is steadfast in his religious beliefs. Tutu places great value on religious inclusiveness and interfaith dialogue. Archbishop Tutu, welcome to Inside Out.
Thank you so very much. I'm glad to be with you.
Yeah, it's an honor to have you. And before we get into our dialogue in redefining peace and what that may look like as far as justice and taking action in this world and really making a stand, which I really feel both of you do, and it's really amazing work that both of you do as far as justice and peace and taking action and really standing for inclusiveness. I mean, it's an amazing journey for both of you. I just want to commend you on your dance at the World Cup. It was really great.
Thank you.
And what I love about it, to be honest with you, is your humor. you have a, you and Robert and even someone like the Dalai Lama are filled with so much stress, and a lot of people put a lot of stuff on all of you guys, and you still have this great sense of humor. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, maybe since I'm the older, let Robert start.
Oh. Well, you know, I just, David, I'm always struck by the Archbishop's impish, delightful sense of humor, laughing at himself. And I think some of it, certainly for me, I think, and for all of us, is about, you know, how we're grounded and taking ourselves lightly. I have a wonderful image of, I was once going a few years ago to a very important interview, and I was looking pretty formal, and for Seattle, it's unusual to wear something like a suit, but there I was dressed in a suit, and the meeting was at a neighboring synagogue, and it was a wet, I don't know, January, February day in Seattle, and I knew the synagogue very well, and I suddenly couldn't find the door, the right door to enter through, and found myself a little panicked. And the next thing I knew, as I was heading down to the south side of the building, realizing that that was probably where I needed to go in, I took a huge slide on the that lovely, wet, green, mushy moss on the ground. And there I was, dressed for this interview, and just fell on the ground. And, you know, my hands were covered with dirt, my suit was splattered, my notes had dirt on them, and I found myself laughing as I sort of braced for the fall. And I love remembering that story because it was a reminder to me about the humor of what had just happened. And it was a reminder to take myself lightly and to walk lightly in the interview. And I think for me that's a metaphor about our spiritual life. And we might be very serious about the practices that we engage in that sustain us. But we're invited not to take our own selves too seriously. And I see the Archbishop doing that wonderfully.
That's a lovely story.
Yeah, it's a great reminder.
Yes, I really don't know. I mean, it seems to have been a defense mechanism. I have a family who are forever, as they say in England, taking the Mickey out of you when I think I'm getting to be too full of myself. You know, sometimes you hear one of my children say, "Oh, Daddy, you know, you preached a wonderful sermon," and I'm preening myself and really feeling good. And I say, "Well, darling, what was it that I was saying?" And darling says, "Well, I don't know, but it was short." I think we tend to have, for instance, pictures of our Lord that are solemn, and I think yes, he, looking at the pain and anguish in the world, and knowing that a great deal of it was self-inflicted, he would have felt so sorry, distressed. But I remember having a picture painted by a Jewish artist, and it showed our Lord sitting with Peter and another of his disciples, with our Lord throwing his head backwards and is laughing uproariously, and the caption is, "Peter has just told a funny story." Now, I've kept saying to people, but can you imagine if Jesus was always sort of a sourdough kind of guy, how could he ever have been able to attract children? I think, I mean, the fact that he had such an attraction for children, shows that he would have had a lighter side. And some of the stories, I mean, we read the stories far too seriously. But I think, I mean, whenever he would have told, say, a story like, hey, look at this guy, you know, he's so intent on removing a speck of dust from his neighbor's eye, and all the while a huge beam is sticking out of his eye, which he doesn't see. I think, I mean, that when he told that story, the crowd must have been rolling in the aisles, you know.
Right.
Well, I think, David, you know, just picking up on that, the Jesus who I know and adore shines through the gospel passages as not only just, you know, attracting children and absolutely, you know, you think he must have been a playful, humorous guy, but he's also always feasting with people, and he's at parties and wedding feasts, and when the wine runs out, he produces more of it, and he makes sure that people are fed, not in just a sort of a sanctimonious, you know, do good kind of approach, but he understands that it's in being together around a meal that we begin to have some profound human connection with each other. And so there's a playfulness and a delight about it, and I think it's important to cultivate that and to have that as part of who we are in our daily lives, because it shifts the way we think about ourselves in relationship to other people. We begin to connect with strangers around a dinner table or at a party, and we begin to develop empathy that shifts our way of being in the world, and it's full of surprises, and it's magnificent.
Yeah, speaking of magnificent, you both have touched on children, and I have a 2.5-year-old daughter, Harper Soleil, and one of the amazing things that I'm starting to realize as a father is here I'm teaching my child, you know, to play nice, to share, to enjoy yourself, to not judge others, to treat people like you want to be treated, all these wonderful things. And then I look out in the world, and the world itself is doing all the things that I'm telling my child aren't the most appropriate things to do.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's interesting that we tell our kids one thing, and yet as adults we do another.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, we've got this public and private sort of dichotomy, and part of the purpose of spiritual discipline, of prayer and quiet, are to help us integrate these different parts so that we have, well, I mean, the word integrity relates to being one, you know, that you don't have several faces. You just have an integrated, united you. And I've been thinking about people like the Dalai Lama. You know, he has a tremendous sense of fun. Yeah, he's quite as mischievous as a little boy, and then sometimes I've had to say to him, "Shh, look at." I mean, the cameras are on us, man. Try to behave like a holy man. but looking at someone like him who has been in exile over 50 years, he's never been to his home country. And then you meet him and you are struck immediately by the serenity that he has, which is not glum, a serenity that sees the funny side of things very, very quickly. I mean, he laughs at the slightest provocation, as you probably know. And I've said, I don't think met anyone really who is as holy, as serene, as really good. And I'm not the only one. I mean, the fact that he can attract so many, many people. We were together in Seattle, and they were doing something on compassion, and he was due to address a crowd. They had to find the largest venue, which was the sports arena, where there were about 60 or so thousand people waiting for him. And I say, well, you know, I'm not really jealous, but I mean, just imagine 60,000 people waiting for someone who can't even speak English properly. I mean, you know, God, I'm not too jealous about that.
It's a great story. Yes, wonderful. We just have about a minute or so left in this segment. When we come back in the second segment with both of you, I'd like to really just talk about how you two met, and then we could just start a little bit of a dialogue on what peace means to you, what it actually is now, and how people can take action on it in their lives, and maybe giving one or two examples of that action they could take in their life that will, because I know a lot of people are listening to this show and have been listening to Inside Out, and their lives might not be in a place where they feel like they can laugh at themselves, maybe. I don't know. But we will come back with both Archbishop Tutu and Robert V. Taylor, two spiritual leaders. And I'm your host, David Matthew Brown, and we'll come back for that second segment, and we will talk about their meeting.
Exploring our oneness with spirit and each other. Unity FM.
As Unity FM continues to expand its programming and outreach to the world, we count on the support of listeners like you. Please make your donation today at www.unity.fm.
A Catholic priest, a doctor from the Mayo Clinic, and a woman from Trinidad meet at Unity Village. No, that's not the beginning of a joke. It's the incredible reality of a Spirit Path experience. Spirit Path at Unity Village is the Heartland's premier spiritual retreat and workshop destination. Start planning your Spirit Path getaway to Unity Village, Missouri now. For a complete list of Spirit Path workshops and retreats, visit www.spiritpathonline.org/UnityFM. That's spiritpathonline.org/UnityFM.
Can business and spirituality coexist in today's competitive marketplace? Is it possible to apply spiritual principles to the business world? How do we inspire and motivate employees in a complex, continually changing work environment? Dr. Charlotte Shelton and Dr. Martha Lynn discuss spiritual principles in the workplace each week on Good Business, Working with Spirit. tune in to learn what leaders in the business world are doing to allow spirit to guide their business practices. Call in with your thoughts and questions about blending business and spirit. It's Good Business, and it's on every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern.
You're listening to Unity's online radio, bringing you the voice of an awakening world. To join the discussion, call us now at 888-55-UNITY. That's 888-558-6489.
We now return to Inside Out with host David Matthew Brown.
Hello, and we're back for our second segment here on Inside Out. I'm your host, David Matthew Brown. I'm here with the delightful Archbishop Desmond Tutu and Robert V. Taylor as we are sharing a dialogue on redefining peace. And like I ended on the first segment, I would like to find out how you two met, because I'm sure that a lot of the listeners are interested in that. And secondly, how important the World Cup is right now to South Africa. So let's talk about how you two met. Robert, I'm sure you probably want to take that away.
Well, you know, it was 1977, so 33 years ago. and I was a student at Rhodes University in South Africa, and one of my professors, James Mulder, was connected with the Archbishop at the South African Council of Churches, and I had led an eight-day fast and a protest around the time of Biko's murder. And it was a very, very tumultuous time in South Africa. School children had been massacred the year before in Soweto and other places, and James said, you know, you really need to meet this man. And he said, I'm going to see if that can happen. And so I went to Archbishop Tutu's office at the South African Council of Churches, and he lay on a couch in his office, and he said, tell me about yourself. And so I started telling the story, and the next thing I knew was he was laughing out loud. And, you know, I was a fairly earnest young, you know, college student, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, what have I said that is so funny or so silly? And he just kept laughing. Well, I had been telling a story about my spinal surgeries that I had had at the age of 15 and 16 that had me hospitalized for very, very lengthy periods of time, and I was telling him about the experience of healing that I'd had and where that led me to in terms of being invited to speak about that in churches, and they were all black churches, and here was this white boy in South Africa having a new awakening. But in the course of that, I said that I'd done a lot of reading, and one of the books that was a conversion moment for me was reading Trevor Huddleston's Not For Your Comfort, and written in the 50s and filled with stories about the people of Sophiatown and denouncing apartheid in a way that said there is another view of God, that God is expansive and of love and of justice. And it was that made Tutu laugh. And when he had finished laughing and I was still sitting there wondering what on earth I'd said, he then told me that Huddleston had been his parish priest. And I think of that story sometimes as being a metaphor for what we do in our spiritual lives, that when we listen to one another and when we share our stories, we find connecting points. It becomes sacred ground, a meeting place with God and one another. So that's my recollection of that meeting.
Archbishop?
Well, I remember that an earnest young white guy came up to our offices and said he was due go into the army. There was conscription for young whites, compulsory conscription, and he was feeling that he wanted to be a conscientious objector, which exposed him to the possibility of a long term in prison if he was convicted, and that he thought he wanted to find an out. And I had a wonderful friend who was rector of St. James Parish in New York, and I called him and said, I've got this young man, he'll be landing on your doorstep, kind of thing. And Robert went to America in December. It was hot in South Africa. Yeah. And when he arrived in New York, it was freezing cold, and he didn't have a coat. And he was attached to this parish and went to Union Theological Seminary and was ordained, and has been a fantastic young. I mean, it's a success story, really, because he went on from that to a parish in New York, and then became dean of the cathedral in Seattle.
Wow.
Well, and I would just, I was astounded that when the time came for me to really make a decision about serving in the military or going to jail, that the Archbishop said no to that, and that with a simple phone call, about 10 days later or so, I was on a plane to New York and welcomed by this wonderful family, Hayes and Linda and their children, in this, foreign country where I knew no one. And it's just been a constant gift and reminder to me of the incredible hospitality and generosity of people, both of the Archbishop in making that call and in the welcoming of a stranger by this amazing American family and church in New York, St. James.
Yeah. Robert, speaking of hospitality and Archbishop Tutu, I'm just really reflecting right now on the hospitality of South Africa during the World Cup. It just seems like such an amazing experience for everybody. I've just never seen such a huge turnout for, South Africans just showing up to every single game, to all different countries and supporting them, and just the earnestness, and I don't know, it's just incredible to see. What are your thoughts on having the World Cup in South Africa?
That's for you, Robert.
Well, you're the one who's been enjoying all the matches.
I know you're the one that's dancing out there.
Well, let me just say, something that I mentioned to Robert during the break. None of us in our country would have predicted the kind of, it's a wave of patriotism and feel good about being South Africans that has just swept over all of us. Our team, the Bafana, a few months ago we would have said there were no hopers, really. In fact, had they had to qualify, I'm almost certain they would not have qualified. We qualified only because we were the host country. And yet, a few days before the opening, there were unprecedented scenes in the hub of our industrial world, Shenzhen. They had nearly 200,000 people turn out to greet the side and to send them off, and you had the same kind of scenes playing themselves around the country. Now we had something like this at when Nelson Mandela was released in 1990, but this was a great deal more than that, and we had it too when we won the Rugby World Cup in 1995, which is reflected in the film Invictus. But what we have experienced has been amazing. I mean, you see cars emblazoned with the national flag colors. As I'm sitting here, I'm wearing a Bafana Bafana shirt. I said I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this until the final on July the 11th. And now this instrument called the vuvuzela, this horn that we've been playing, and many people had complained that the noise was overwhelming. It's now being sold in some of the leading shops, Sainsbury's in England, and it's being sold even in the United States now. I mean, so we've given the world at least one gift. The incredible thing is what it has done for us. Yes, I mean, our people have been, I think, wonderfully hospitable. But it is the fact that for so long South Africa was a pariah because of apartheid, and now has been welcomed by the world, and we can't, as it were, contain our exuberance and our joy.
Yes.
And what I keep, I'm obviously watching all of this from afar on ESPN and through emails from people in South Africa and around the world who are just captivated by what is happening. And I'm constantly struck by the stories that I hear from people visiting South Africa, maybe for the first time. And there was a wonderful article in the Huffington Post that represented some of what I've heard of people saying, wherever I go, South Africans are not only welcoming, but it's more than a sort of a superficial welcome. They want to know where I'm from, where we're from, what it's like, how we think about the world. And I've heard so many people say it's the sense of really wanting to be connected with the rest of humanity. And I think, through this incredible festivities and the excitement of these games of the World Cup in South Africa, it's a reminder that some of the simplest things in life, a sports event, becomes more than that. I mean, it's obviously that, and people are thrilled with it, but it becomes another way to engage and to look at one another with maybe some new eyes. And I think it's a beautiful, powerful story, not just for South Africa, but maybe a gift that South Africa gives to the world.
That's a great way of looking at it. I just want to have you guys talk briefly about what's one thing people can do for peace in their life. If you were to talk to any one person, what's one thing that stands out for you? Hello,
Robert.
Well, I'm gonna defer to you. Let you go first on that one.
All right. You know, I have been struck by the fact that the biblical concept of peace, shalom, salam, is not the kind of thing that we frequently think of a peace as being the absence of, you know, the absence of conflict, sort of the negative in negative terms. It speaks really about fullness of life and that. I mean, you know, somebody being able to sit under his fig tree, be able to enjoy the good things that God has made available, and enjoying maybe good health, good relationships in the family, good relationships with the fellow nationalists, and so one of the things is thinking positively about the good things that you and I can have, which are not material things. It's how can I have the kind of serenity that a Dalai Lama has, you know, even when he is an exile from home. You'd have thought, I mean, exile would make him hard and bitter. But each one of us has the capacity of having a fullness. You know, I've been saying to people, how about trying to be a pool of serenity within yourself? You know, the kind of thing, you know, usually, say, when I'm in a traffic jam, I am agitated and I'm annoyed at my fellow drivers. It's always their fault that something has gone wrong. Imagine if instead of being worked up, churned up inside, I was to calm down, even count up to 10, and perhaps look at the people around me in their cars, and hold them up to the throne of grace, and instead of being agitated, being calm within myself, and then, like a pool, which sends off ripples right up to the edge, I send off ripples of serenity, of calm, of peace.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that, David. I would, you know, I think in terms of your question, and you'd said earlier that some people have been saying, oh, peace is such a thing from the 70s, and I think the truth is that peace is, it's an ancient yearning that humanity has had, and you know, Jesus calls the peacemakers blessed because they work for material and social and spiritual relationships which promote the well-being of all people. You know, my Buddhist friends talk about it as maybe happiness for all people, not, again, meaning material happiness necessarily, but well-being of another.
And I think it starts with us, not in some kind of way that this becomes a private little spiritual treasure for me and I say, gee, aren't I doing well spiritually, but a way of being grounded, knowing that you know, I'm loved just for my existence. And I never forget the wise spiritual guide who, when I was having a very hard time loving myself, years ago, said to me one day, "Remember, you're one of the many disguises of God." And so I think the work that we do in terms of knowing that we're loved, knowing that we are one of the disguises of God, means that I then begin to think about needing other people, and that if I'm loved for my existence, that's also true for you. And it creates a different way of approaching life, and it allows us to not just accept that things should be the way they are. You know, we often talk about being made in the image of God, and I think sometimes it's helpful to think that, you know, God, who creates all of these wonderful, fantastic creatures like, you know, the platypus and the giraffe and the elephant, is the same God who's created us. And you know, what imagination must have been at work to perhaps have even thought about creating us as human beings. And so what might it be like to think of ourselves being made in the imagination of, rather than just the image of God? And what does that mean for how we help polish the world? But it's always related to how we're grounded and how we live peace out in our daily lives. You know, when I go around banging doors or raising my voice, that's not being at peace with myself or with other people. And when I think of people being a distraction or an annoyance, you know, that's not peace within myself. So it's really about how we're centered.
I like that. And we're going to go off to our final segment. Archbishop Tutu and Robert, do you just have 5 minutes? Because we have a caller on the line when we get back that's been itching to ask you guys one question, and then I know the Archbishop has to go to bed.
Providing insight and resources for your spiritual journey. Unity FM.
Unity is designating 2010 as the Year of the 12 Powers. And throughout the year, we'll be providing you with a variety of free online resources to help you apply one new power each month. This month, we are celebrating Understanding. We affirm, my understanding of truth deepens and directs my life. My understanding of truth deepens and directs my life. Join Unity on a year-long journey of spiritual discovery and transformation with the 12 Powers. For more information, go to www.unity.org and click on the link for the 12 Powers Resource Center.
What if everything on the big TV screen of life could be interpreted metaphysically? What do current events and popular culture signal back to the collective soul of nations and individuals? Join us every Friday for New World Radio, bringing Unity's teachings to the issues of today. The Reverend Laura Barrett Bennett and her weekly guest Christopher Naughton take you on a holistic worldview journey with special guests, real issues, and your phone calls and comments. New World Radio with Reverend Laura Barrett Bennett, Fridays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Unity FM, the voice of an awakening world.
We now return to Inside Out with host David Matthew Brown.
Hello, and we are are back here on Inside Out. I'm your host, David Matthew Brown. I'm again joined by my guests, Archbishop Desmond Tutu and Robert V. Taylor. If you want to learn more about Robert V. Taylor, just go to his website at robertvtaylor.com. I believe if you want to learn more about Archbishop Tutu and all the great work that he's doing, I believe you can go to tutu.org. We've had a caller on the line for about a half hour that's itching to ask Archbishop Tutu a question and Robert V. Taylor. His name is Bill. Bill, welcome to Inside Out, and welcome to the show.
It's great to be here, and I first want to stop by saying I've long honored the work of Bishop Tutu for many, many years. And I wanted to mention, Bishop Tutu, that I'm actually working with some people that you're very close to, Rick Ulfick with WE, and Laura Dickinson with the Elders.
Yes,
we're working on the Global Internet Broadcast. I don't know if Laura has talked to you about that yet, but it's an international global broadcast on the Internet. Last year, more than 2 million people took part in the event. This year, we're expecting many million more. We're working with the UN, more than 100 organizations. It's a very phenomenal vehicle. And we will be focusing on the work of the elders. And I thought perhaps you might say a few words about the current activities of the elders.
Wow. Thank you, Bill.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. The elders was something put together or called into being by Nelson Mandela on the suggestion of Sir Richard Branson and Peter Gabriel. They said, I mean, we live in a global village, and in the traditional village, you always had elders who were the repositories of, we hoped, experience and knowledge, which they sought to pass on. And we have people like Kofi Annan, President Carter, Mary Robinson, Gro Brundtland from Norway, who was the Prime Minister. We have former President of Brazil, Fernando Cardoso, the former President of Finland, Martti Ahtisaari, and we have Ila Bhatt from India. She's founded the largest organization for self-employed women, and Krasha Marcel, Lagda Brahimi. I hope I've got most of them. We're about 10 or so, with Aung San Suu Kyi in Burma as an honorary elder, and we usually meet and have an empty chair to symbolize her absence while she's under house arrest. And we've been involved with trying to help bring peace in the Sudan. We've also done something about raising the profile of the situation in Zimbabwe. We've also been to Cyprus to try and assist in the reunification of the island. And we were involved in the Middle East to see how that fraught situation can be resolved. I mean, with the totally unacceptable situation relating to 1.5 million people in the Gaza Strip, collective punishment that is happening there, and we want to see a peace that guarantees the security of Israel, So we have been supporting the two-state solution for that part of the world. And more recently, we have been we're going to be involved with child marriage, and of course, we are supporting the emergence and acceptance of women. You know, gender issues are part of what we are interested in.
Wow, that's beautiful. We just have about... go, Robert.
Do we, when are we finishing?
We are finishing. We are finishing right now. Archbishop Tucci, thank you so much for coming on Inside Out. What?
David, yes, as I listen to the Archbishop describe that, I mean, I think so many of us are thankful for the work of the elders and yearn for their voice and their presence maybe to be heard even more in our world. But when I listen to what he's just said, it seems to me that what the elders are trying to do is really at the heart of compassion and the sort of the passion part of all of it, the listening, the trying to figure things out, asking why things are the way they are, and coming up with imaginative solutions that require just being present and being steadfast. I would urge your listeners and each of us to think about how we are peacemakers and peace builders in terms of how we engage in compassion in our lives and would maybe point people to the wonderful Charter of Compassion that Karen Armstrong started and the movement to create compassionate cities around the world, of which Seattle and Cape Town are among the first two.
Beautiful. And as we just have 30 seconds left on this program, I want to thank the Archbishop Desmond Tutu for coming on Inside Out and Robert V. Taylor. I appreciate you both so much. Thank you for showing up in the world the way that you do. Thank you for showing up to this interview the way that you did. And to learn more about Robert, go to robertvtaylor.com. To learn more about Desmond Tutu, feel free to go to www.tutufoundation-usa.org. And to learn more about who I am, go to davidmatthewbrown.com. Thank you, Go Solar. And peace and blessings to each and every one of you for showing up the way that you do as peaceful people.
God bless you.
What?
Thank you for tuning in to Inside Out with David Matthew Brown. Join us every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern for more revelations on living from the inside out, only on Unity FM, the voice of an awakening world. This program is brought to you in part by David Matthew Brown, an Agape-licensed spiritual practitioner who lives from the inside out. For more information, visit www.davidmatthewbrown.com.
What would a human life based on the principles of evolutionary spirituality look like? Reverend Kelly Isola wants to talk with people of every faith and outlook about passionately participating in the next great epic in the emergence of consciousness and culture. If the choice is ours to consciously evolve, then what can life look like at this pivotal time in human history? Join us each Wednesday at 11 a.m. Central Time for Spiraling Consciousness with host Reverend Kelly Isola, right here on Unity FM, the voice of an awakening world.
Dorothy Day, a co-founder of the Catholic worker movement in America, called for not a revolution of arms, but a revolution of the heart. Since the beginning of our nation, the American Revolutionary War, and long before that actually, there's not been a time without conflict somewhere in the world. Makes you stop and think, doesn't it? Certainly we live in challenging times. Each day brings seemingly limitless opportunities to take offense. And each opportunity offers me a choice. I can give a knee-jerk response in fear or anger, or I can choose consciously to respond in love. My choice may seem insignificant. After all, I'm only one person. But as history has taught us, one person can make a difference. Peace can begin with me.
To find a Unity Church near you, please visit our website at www.unity.org.
I try to live by spiritual principles, but sometimes I feel overwhelmed by what's showing up.
I wish someone would just get real about how to use this stuff in my day-to-day life.
How can I, just one person, make a difference?
Join Reverend James Trapp and Reverend Robin Ferguson every Thursday morning for Evolutionary Living. Let's talk about and connect through the challenges that are facing us as we navigate this changing world. We can have compassion for our human experience, while also knowing that we are mighty spiritual beings, empowered with the task of living from a higher truth. That's evolutionary living. Join us every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, here on Unity FM, the voice of an awakening world.
We are one in the Spirit. We are